This week, we place our orders for our assault weapons. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace Process.
Duty, honor, country.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people.
We will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
Ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
To remind America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now.
The Midwest.
Now.
Peace.
Now.
Process.
Now. Now.
Welcome to episode 55. The kids call it the process. Today is January 11th, 2013. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
Hey, we are on location, if you couldn't tell. And this is part of a new format. We are we're going to do all our shows on location now because they're a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Woo! Everything's better with beer.
Prove it yet again.
And this is our waitress, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi.
Everybody good?
We're all good. All
right. I'll take a Blarney.
Blarney?
Right. Please.
That's a beer. It's nothing dirty. Don't
That's
worry.
Right. Listeners. Yeah. We don't need to look that up on Urban Dictionary.
You
got to
go in the back room for that.
So before we get started, we'd like to welcome a guest. We have our listener, Matt, with us.
Hello.
All right, Matt.
Matt is joining us here on location. He's going to offer his bit of wisdom along with ours, such that it is.
He looks wise over there.
Okay, so a couple of topics since we obviously were on a hiatus over the holidays. A couple of topics that have been in the news and have been, I don't know, dominating the public discourse, it seems, since our last episode. Just a few days after our last episode was, of course, the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. And so gun control has been a topic that everybody's been talking about. Also the fiscal cliff, so we can, you know, hit on that a little bit too.
And the congressional pay raise. We'll probably ought to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I didn't hear about that.
Your old buddy thinks he's...
Which one? Which one of my buddies?
The main buddy.
My main man?
Barry on the block.
Yeah. Thinks it's high time these hard-working congressional leaders.
They have it tough, Jeremy. You know how hard they work.
Yeah, they do.
They weren't allowed to go home for Christmas, Jeremy.
Yeah, they were.
Huh?
Sure they weren't.
No, I think they were, but then they had to come back like on the 26th, like most people.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Instead of taking a month off, like they usually do.
But that's their time to be with their constituents.
Right. Don't get me started.
They didn't all go to Hawaii.
What I think is amazing about them is that they can get a bill that's 150 or more pages of legalese, and they get it like late at night, and then they vote on it the next morning. How they have time to read all that and understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all must happen between the clerks, you know, like the you know, it's not just like in the Supreme Court, you know, it's not Judge Alito in there, like, on the word processor. You know, the clerk sketch out a bunch of graphs, he's like, sweet sentence there, and grabs it, you know. Yes, yeah, it's not the old congressman sitting with a lamp and his candle, like, should I vote for this for my people? You know?
Right. He's got a staff of a dozen people who's... They may actually read this stuff.
Right, I think they do.
And then, you know, they boil it down into a PowerPoint chart of, six bullet points.
Yep.
Here's what the legislation is all about.
And then they attack on the court, and they say, this is what it gets in my state, now
vote. Oh, but earmarks. They've done away with earmarks, Jeremy.
Yes, they have. Certainly.
Okay, so the thing about the fiscal cliff that I don't remember if I actually predicted this or not in our last episode.
I wish we had it recorded.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we could go back and listen to what we said in the last episode. But, you know, I never had any doubt that there was going to be some sort of agreement reached.
Right.
Nobody was going to let us plummet over this cliff. But, you know, the interesting thing is that everybody's taxes went up anyway, right?
Not mine. I make less than $250,000.
No. Your taxes went up.
Which taxes?
You better check your paycheck from last week.
I don't even know what comes in the paycheck.
No,
but anyway,
the payroll tax holiday that had been in effect for 2 years was allowed to expire.
All right.
So that was not part of the fiscal cliff deal.
Who negotiated the payroll tax holiday?
Well, that was Obama's thing.
But I thought he always wanted to raise taxes.
On the rich. Your taxes went up, Rob. So
I know.
All of us did.
But they went up from what Obama already gave us for some low taxes, right? Didn't he push the payroll tax holiday?
Yeah.
And now he let it expire.
Right.
So you're going to zing him for raising taxes?
Yes. They're higher than they were before.
Not us.
Right.
Oh.
Pizza. Yeah, so, you know, I just had to get that dig in. Your taxes went up.
Rob
just on the rich.
This. Rob doesn't see this as his taxes. I can see it in his eyes.
What about the Bush tax cuts expire? Is that a tax hike?
Yes.
That's fair. I mean, you could say that, you know, your taxes have just been restored to the previous level.
The pre-Obama level.
So it's not a tax hike, it's not a tax cut,
It's just the holiday's over.
Right.
It's like Christmas.
But isn't that the same as when, you know, when Congress talks about cutting spending, they're not actually cutting spending, they're cutting the rate of increase in spending, but they'll still call it a cut.
Ooh, that would gave me a calculus thought there.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're talking about the F prime.
Right. Second derivative. Sorry, we're a bunch of math geeks.
Nerds it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, well, you applied it equally then. You know, if something you set in for a short amount of time, you let to expire, you're calling that a hike.
It was a hike. How long does it have to be in effect before it's the norm?
Well, why do they put expiration dates on this stuff anyway?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, I always wondered that with the Bush tax cuts. Why wasn't it just the tax cut?
Right. Because to get the bill passed, you have to tell the other people who are against it, well, it's only going to be for this long.
Right, I mean, you could battle it again. Right. Well, that's fair enough, right? So if it's no longer appropriate, then you just let it expire. What's wrong with that? That's not a tax hike.
Interesting that they made it last until after Bush left office.
Interesting.
That's Congress for you, I guess. Par for the course. All right, so let's talk about gun control.
Let's do it.
Because that's the elephant in the room. And, you know, there's a lot of different directions we could approach this topic, because I've heard it, you know, heard it talked about many different ways. And one story that just came out the last this last week was a former Marine. His name is Joshua Boston, and he wrote an open letter to Dianne Feinstein saying, "No, ma'am, I won't register my guns," because she's proposing legislation that would require everybody to register their guns. And so, you know, he wrote this open letter, and it kind of went viral on social media. I just saw him interviewed on CNN yesterday. And the interesting part to me, not only that he's a former Marine, but today I see that there's another former Marine who's taking up the opposite
point of view. And I wonder who paid him to take up
that. Oh, who paid the first Marine?
Nobody had to.
Well, why so skeptical?
Well, you just, I mean, if you see this guy interviewed, I mean, he's very well-spoken. He's obviously very intelligent.
The letter was well-written.
He's not your typical Marine.
So well, tell me, I haven't read the letter. Tell me and the rest of the listeners, what was this case for not registering his gun?
Basically, that, you know, individuals carrying firearms is your last line of defense against a tyrannical government. So, you know, in your worst-case scenario, if you do have to defend yourself from your own government, you need to be armed in order to do that. He's not registering because history has shown registration is the first step to confiscation. And, you know, I mean, the points he makes are pretty well reasoned, in my opinion. The problem is, it's, you know, there's no new ground being broken here. We've had all these arguments before in the media and elsewhere. Not to say that there is any new ground in this debate. I think we've covered it all ad nauseum. But one thing that I think has been different this time, I've heard a lot more talk about, you know, the whole mental health aspect of it. And how that maybe should be the focus of any kind of legislative solutions. I don't know how that would work, honestly, but it's refreshing at least to hear people talking about that as opposed to, you know.
Well, hold on here.
Renewing the assault weapons ban and, you know.
Well, who's talking about the mental health aspect is the NRA and the gun protection people that want to focus this thing away from the guns and onto the people, right? Well, if you work your political Venn diagram on there, the people who are claiming, oh, we need more mental health services, are exactly the people that aren't willing to pay for those mental health services. Like the mom of the Newtown shooter. Okay, so she had a gun there. What, she worked at the local bar or something? Like, and she had the crazy kid who shot up a bunch of kids? Like, was she supposed to dole out thousands and thousands of dollars of therapy for her own kid? And so is it now her fault that she wasn't able to do that?
Yeah.
Well, if she was supposed to do that, she didn't do that, that's what we get. That's what we get as a country, because not everybody can provide those sorts of services for their kid.
But so she was a means. Don't pretend.
Well, I don't really know much about her, but when they're talking about mental health services, they're talking about public services.
Well, I think if you take that a step further, you know, if you're going to find a legislative solution to this, the law would be something along the lines of, if someone in your family is crazy and they get a hold of a gun and they go out and shoot up a bunch of people, you're culpable for that because you did not intervene or you did not take the steps necessary to neutralize the threat.
You didn't lock your guns in a safe.
Or you didn't recognize the fact that your son or daughter or your family member was crazy and that they needed treatment or they needed to be committed for the safety of society.
But what if you don't want to leave it locked up because it's going to be hard to get to when the tyrannical government comes?
Well,
you know, what if that's the case? Why is the government making me lock up my weapons? How do I know that's not a Marine out there trying to take my weapon?
There are ways. I mean, technology has rendered that argument moot, in my opinion.
How so?
Well, for instance, you can buy a safe now that you can open with your fingerprint. So
Matt's
I mean,
nodding. He's loving the chicken pizza, but he says yes.
And so
yes, you can.
I mean, the debate over trigger locks is ridiculous because trigger locks are ridiculous themselves. They render the weapon unusable. And if you've got to fumble for a key and remove the trigger lock before you can use the weapon,
right,
it's no good to you in a lot of situations. But if the gun is loaded and it's ready to go, but it's inside a safe, but all you have to do is put your fingerprint on, and it only works with your fingerprint, which means your kids can't open it, your neighbor can't, you know, the neighbor across the street
can't
open it.
How much does such a thing cost? Is it feasible for a regular Joe?
I'd say it's about the same cost as a gun. So if you can afford the gun, if you can afford two guns, you can afford a gun and a safe.
Now you're trying to bring in the economic factor, and I don't like that angle, Rob, because it's like anything else. If you are going to own something, you have to be able to own whatever is associated with owning that thing.
Well, what's this have to? Who's giving it the have to? Is it the government that says you have to? Because you wouldn't be for that. You wouldn't be for the government passing a law that says you also must buy this thing. I don't want the government telling me to buy anything, including health care. Throw that in there.
No, well, that's
but
fine.
But, like, where's the have to come from?
I don't want anybody to have to do anything. I'm saying that your sense of obligation, your sense of duty to, you know, your fellow man, if you're gonna own a gun, I mean, I would think, first of all, parents that have kids in their house are going to do this just because it makes sense to
do it,
to protect your own kids.
Right, right.
But we all know a lot of these stories are the kids taking the guns out of the house, taking them to school, or taking them wherever. So you're protecting other people as well by taking these precautions. I'm not saying it should be legislated. I'm not saying that anybody should be forced to buy a fingerprint safe. I'm just saying that technology exists. And so in my mind, arguing about how do you make a weapon safe is no longer an argument. That's how you do it. End of discussion.
I thought we were going to discuss. I mean, I assume you have a position on this, but it seems like you're playing devil's advocate and taking what you assume are my position or maybe Jerry's position to be is that government can't tell us what to do with weapons. I'm offering up, I'm saying what I was saying about the safe and buying the gun and having, if you're going to buy something, you have to be able to afford whatever comes with that.
We agree with that. We agree. For me personally, what do I really think? I'm completely against any kind of idea of banning all weapons. I think that's silly. We got 200, 300 million weapons in the country. There's no, like, banning it is just a stupid idea. But I think answering problems like we have with the Batman shooter and this Newtown thing and whatever else we have going on, that the answer isn't more guns in schools, more guns for teachers, more guns for principals. I don't think the answer is more guns, but I don't believe the answer is no guns. But I would be for it. Maybe the assault weapons ban needs to come back in. Maybe that's not a bad thing. But I think the NRA in particular is such a lobbying organization that makes their money on the fear that somebody's going to take all their guns that they stop any kind of conversation. They stop any kind of progress. That's the way I believe that.
And I'll admit, yeah, there's probably some merit to what you're saying. But there's a reason they can cultivate that fear, because the people who want to do something about guns, so to speak, you're able to villainize them and say, look, this boogeyman is going to come and take your guns because of the way they talk about it.
Well, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when good old Joe Biden with his 800 teeth come out and talks about his little findings from his little research project, where he went and talked to the video game industry and the NRA. Let's see if he comes out and says, all right, I think we should ban all weapons. I bet he doesn't say that.
But he's already made comments about maybe looking into an executive order about confiscation.
What?
Do you think that's helping the conversation? I don't think it is.
I think, well, no, it's not. But I think he has to make statements like that because he's got to throw a bone to his constituents.
But that's the problem.
But isn't everybody throwing bones? Isn't the NRA throwing bones that say, we will not accept a single possible restriction of any kind on any weapon ever? Like, isn't that the NRA's position? Where's the NRA helping with this? They should be the expert on guns.
Yeah, thank you.
They should know what's up, you know, but they're not helping. Just like the crazies who want to ban all weapons and send us back to like some Wizard of Oz munchkin land where nobody's ever heard of a gun. It's equally as stupid, right? Aren't those two things stupid?
Okay, yes, they are equally stupid. That's what we're trying to get to, is saying these people are not helping. Let's
see what
thing that is. All right, let's get rid of these people here. Let's quit voting these people in. Let's quit supporting these people.
Well, let's see what comes out of this little fact finding mission. And what I want to guess in my crazy liberal mind, brainwashed as it is that it's going to seem somewhat reasonable. It's going to seem somewhat like what we've done in the past.
I imagine it's.
I think it's going to boil down to they're going to call for reinstating the assault weapons ban.
Okay. Right. Which I think somebody like Stephanie, who we had earlier on the show, would maybe be okay with. And maybe a majority of Americans would be okay with.
I think they'd be okay with it.
What are we going to hear?
Make it reasonable.
Well, right. But what are we going to hear from the NRA is that it's a completely out of whack idea, even though 60, 70% of Americans think it's reasonable.
So how does the assault weapons ban solve our problem?
Right. That would be my
That's
next
the
point.
Biggest issue.
Because Columbine occurred during the assault weapons ban.
Right, right.
And none of the things that have been presented do anything to prevent or lessen these so-called mass shootings. And I heard the two firemen who were killed on Christmas Eve, was it? Piers Morgan referred to that as a mass shooting. That guy needs to be deported. I wish I could sign that petition to get his...
I'll sign it just because this show is terrible.
He needs to be deported.
Well, hasn't it been brought out that the Sandy Hook shooter didn't even use a so-called assault weapon?
Well, you know, I heard conflicting
two,
stories
yeah.
about that he had one in his car, but that he didn't bring it in.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what's true there.
It's just funny that was the immediate report,
right?
That it was an assault weapon.
Right, that it was an AR-15.
Yeah. Well, I think they probably found the AR-15, and then they figured out where it was.
Right.
Or whatever.
So he meant to use it. That's a problem.
Yeah,
but don't we have a lot of laws that are meant to put stumbling blocks in the way of crime, right? I mean, we do that all the time. We do it with, like, the TSA, which this group is a big fan of. But I think if you think of your locks on your house. I mean, you lock your doors, right? But if somebody really wants to get in, or if somebody really has it out for you and they want to shoot you in the head, we're going to do it when you're driving to work. You listen into KC95, right? I mean, so does that mean you don't lock your doors? No, you still put preventative measures in place. But I agree. I don't think it would stop the mass shooting, but it might lessen the number of deaths. How about this? Do you guys think the assault weapons ban is really a secret plan to make it easier for the government takeover to happen later?
No.
You just think it's just an infringement on rights, and any kind of infringement on rights is a bad thing, no matter what.
I think it is another red herring, is what I think. It's the government. It's another increment in the step.
Right.
And like you were saying, what was it you were talking about? Oh, the driver's licenses, when you know you brought up Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that was before we started recording.
Before we started recording. But driver's licenses for illegal aliens. For illegal aliens. You said 8 years ago, that was like, oh my god.
Right. And Hillary mentioned it in the primary.
Idea that right. is Illinois just passed
yeah.
a bill.
Yeah.
It's now legitimate and in the works.
Right, right.
So, assault weapons ban, alright, nobody really cares about that. And then another shooting happens. Well, it didn't happen with an assault weapon because those were banned. So, it happened with. Right.
Well, right. We gotta get the handguns now. Right. I do have to giggle a little bit, just in general, out of a large historical perspective, is that progress, as I'll call it, that train just keeps moving. Like, whatever is happening is happening, and like over time, things are going to change. You know, and I don't think we can, and I won't say for the better, but
for sure.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion of the scourge of America. We had a little epiphany here during the break, something that the Midwest peace process is going to pursue here in the future, and we're just going to go after all the stupid people. That's it.
We need to unite our anger towards stupidity.
That's right.
Not illegal aliens, not liberals.
Rob, it's been great working with you.
I'm one of the good guys.
That we said as we were on break there was that we don't like these kind of discussions because they don't go anywhere. It's round and round. It doesn't solve anything. It's a time waster. It's an energy waster. It's the personification of government.
Yes. And I mean, really, what possible solution is there? I mean, if everybody looked at this objectively, they all have to come to the same conclusion that there is no way to prevent mass shootings.
Agreed.
I mean, the only way to prevent it is if we take every person in America and lock them up in a cage and let each one of them out for an hour at a time.
I'm not with that.
That is the only way to do it.
Right. There is no way to prevent mass shootings.
There's no way to prevent mass anything. I mean, look at Oklahoma City. You know, like it's fertilizer and...
Right.
Okay, now we're going to ban all the weapons. Okay, and now I'm going to lobby to have barriers put up in front of every school and every business so somebody can't take a car and drive that into the classroom, too.
I think that's why you got to pop it up a notch. I mean, I don't know really what's going to happen with the legislation. I don't think you can pass a law, and you know, I don't really see that happening. But why do we have this problem? Do we have a problem? Do we have a unique American kind of problem? And why do we have it? Like, what is it about us?
Well, I mean, is it possible that because we value freedom and we value individual rights, one of which is self-defense and to own weapons, because we value those things, the price of that is every so often we have to tolerate some lunatic taking his gun and killing a bunch of innocent people for no reason.
Well, that's why we have the discussion. Maybe that is the case. But I think we need to realize that about ourselves, that we're making a trade-off here.
I don't think that... I kind of disagree with that. Maybe it does have something to do with freedom. But it has more to do with not wanting to offend anybody and not wanting to tell people... Society used to police itself better than it does now. We've lost that.
So, what? You mean putting all the crazy people away somewhere?
Similar to that. Not to that extent, but that was the point of... That's apparently what set this kid off, that the mother wanted to have him committed.
Okay.
That's what came out. And, you know, like anything else, it's what the news was reporting. I didn't talk to the mom or the kid or anybody else, so I don't know other than what the news was reporting. But maybe if that had happened sooner, maybe you prevent that. Maybe somebody says, hey, look, we think this guy's dangerous, and you need to do something about it. Or there's too much coddling, in my opinion.
Well, why are guns so prevalent? I think that happens everywhere.
Well,
I think the story you just described happens in Norway, it happens in England, it happens in the Netherlands. You got your crazy people everywhere.
Right.
like, why is the solution to make guns more readily available so that they're easier to find? Why is that the solution to this problem?
Well, because, the solution is to minimize the number of people who are killed in one of these things.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, if the guy's got to stop and change magazines, and somebody on the scene is armed and can return fire at that point, there's a pretty good chance that that's going to end the situation right there.
Right.
And you're going to minimize the number of deaths.
Right.
Okay. But what we're saying is we're going to create all these gun-free zones across America, schools and shopping malls and college campuses and, you know, all the places that these crazy people go to shoot up a bunch of people because they know they're not going to meet any sort of resistance.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why there's a conversation about arming more people to try to prevent the deaths. Now, is that going to work all the time? No. Do I think that would have made a difference in, for instance, the Aurora, Colorado shooting? Probably not, because the guy came in, throws a smoke bomb or whatever into the theater. It's just chaos inside there. Nobody can see anything. Nobody knows what's going on. So people who are smart, who are maybe carrying concealed, are not going to start returning fire at that point because they don't know what they're shooting at.
Right.
They're only going to create more casualties.
Right.
So in a situation like that, it's probably not going to make a difference. But in a school shooting, if one of the teachers happened to be carrying concealed, and this guy comes into your classroom, instead of shepherding all of your kids into the closet and then cowering and praying that you don't get shot, you pull your gun out and you return fire. And at the very least, if this guy has any self-preservation instincts at all, he's going to turn around and leave your classroom. Now, it may mean he's going to go off and shoot somebody else, but, you know, if all the teachers are armed, and I'm not saying they should be, I'm saying it should be their own individual choice whether or not they want to be.
Well, and that teacher could always pursue him if he does choose to leave to try to go to another classroom.
Right. And, I mean, that would be dependent upon each individual's level of training, their confidence, their comfort with, you know, handling a gun.
Interesting thing to me, I don't remember which reporter it was, but he was interviewing the president of the NRA, taking him to task for advocating arming teachers. Well, guess where his children go to school? Any guess, Ron?
Don't know.
Jerry? They go to the same school as Obama's kids. Guess how many armed guards there are there?
Because Obama's kids are there?
No, just in general. Separate from Secret Service, they said there are something like 11 armed guards at this school. So, let's protect the important kids with guns, but...
Yeah, well, Governor of Connecticut did his State of the State address or whatever this week, and I just remember that was one of the lines he was talking about, you know, freedom is not... having a guard stationed outside every classroom in every school, and I'm thinking, why isn't it? I mean, what's wrong with that? If you are serious about the safety of the kids in your school, and you think that's a necessary step, then you do that. So, at what point do we become Israel?
Like, what do you mean?
When do we admit that, you know, when we have enough school shootings per week, that we are under siege, just like the Israelis are from the Palestinians?
Well, that's a good point. Maybe we're looking at this from two different sides. Maybe your side is saying we're already there. We're already there. It's time to protect ourselves.
Right.
And maybe the left wing side is saying let's not become that.
And that's fine. And I, you know, my take on this is I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that anybody has to believe that. What I'm saying is every individual needs to make their own decision about how far we are along on that spectrum. You know, are we Israel? I don't personally believe we are, but I'm not going to say that somebody else can't feel that way and can't, you know, do what they need to do to protect themselves. And that's what this boils down to. I mean, it's choice, right? You're either pro-choice or you're not.
Yeah, maybe we got to figure out what the real issue is, too. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with assault weapons. The Newtown guy could have killed, just like you said, could have killed as many people without with revolvers if he wanted to.
So, I mean, more people die in car accidents every year than die from
firearm
accidents. But
something's unique about our great nation. Something's unique about us. And what is it? What is the problem? I think some people point to the glut of weapons we have laying around. But maybe there's something else. Maybe as Americans we've been taught to disregard life. You know, maybe it's not important to us anymore.
Well, that could be too.
Maybe it has to do with the entertainment industry, like we say. Maybe if it makes money, if you could have a movie that shows 20 deaths and it makes 10 million, or you could have a movie that shows 40 deaths and makes 20 million. Well, what do you do as a free market American? You make as much money as possible on as many deaths as it takes.
But now you're sounding like the NRA.
Free market.
Yeah, but now you're sounding like the NRA. That was the argument they made. They went after the video game industry and you know, the entertainment industry, and said there's too much violence being sold to people.
Maybe that's true.
Well, I think that's a cop-out myself.
I think it's a cop-out, but I've never understood why it's okay to show mutilated bodies on various TV police shows, but Janet Jackson's nipple rips out and the whole country goes up in a shitstorm.
But that's a family show.
Yeah, football is a family show.
That's a whole separate conversation. I have a real beef with the NFL.
No, you're right. I mean, we have a skewed view of, like, the value of individual life. We have a skewed view of what constitutes obscene material.
It's all based on our history, right? We came over as Puritans, we shot a bunch of people, and we praised God with fire and brimstone. That's what we did. That's what we are.
If you trace your lineage to Plymouth Rock, maybe.
I do. I trace my
lineage to the Jamestown colony. A bunch of people came over here to make money. That's what they came to America for.
That's the other side. Right, so you have, let's shoot a bunch of people and praise God, let's make money. Combine those two things, America, right?
Well, you're right, that's where we are today, right? Puritanism and commercialism.
What's that? That's Halliburton.
That's Halliburton.
Yeah. All right, I think we agree, there's no solution to this problem. I mean, there is no solution. There's nothing, there's no law you can pass, there's no amount of education to the next generation that's going to, you know, straighten this all out.
Stop pretending there is.
Yeah.
It's a symptom of the sickness we have. We have a sickness, and it's a symptom that comes out. And you can try to treat the symptom. Oh, I have a sore throat. I'll have a Hall's cough drop, and that'll treat the fact that I'm sick. No, it doesn't. It just treats your sore throat, you know. And this and it's these little things bubble up because we have problems. We have drive-by shootings and school shootings because our country is sick in some way. And so we're trying to solve it with Band-Aids when we got to figure out why we're busting out the sores. Well said, me.
Good job, man. Okay, so I wanted to cover some listener feedback that we got since our last episode. Our listener Fred posted a comment on Facebook. He said, and this was in response to a topic we were talking about, the kill lists. in the last episode, the fact that, that there is one, the fact that our own government maintains a list of people they want to kill, and then occasionally American citizens appear on this list. And Fred had this to say, I have never gotten this one either. The current, quote, American kill list, unquote, is actually an Al-Qaeda leadership kill list for the leaders in mostly Pakistan or other places the army can't go, isn't it? Or were Americans supposed to be exempt from attack when carrying guns for the, quote, other side, unquote, in what now passes for war? So I kind of see what he's saying, that, you know, it's hard to define the sides in this war on terror. I'll give him that much. But, you know, To me, that harkens back to John Walker Lynn, the American Taliban that they, you know, captured shortly after 9/11, and then they tried and sent to prison. And, you know, in my mind, there was nothing wrong with what he did. He believed in something. He, you know, was converted to a different faith, and he went to a different country to fight for what he believed in. And, you know, to me, that sounds pretty damn American to me. Even if he's fighting for the Taliban against American citizens, he's just fighting for what he believes in.
But isn't he an enemy combatant?
Well, perhaps. But to bring him back here and say he's committed treason and try him for treason, which I think is what he was tried for, I mean, in my mind, there's no such thing as treason.
Right.
Because that implies that you have to be loyal to whatever country you were born into,
right,
you know, and you don't control where you're born. So you say, okay, well, this guy was born American. He's an American. For him to go over there and then kill Americans, that's un-American.
Right.
Well, yeah, but whatever we were selling here, he wasn't buying, so he had to go somewhere else to find that.
Right, right.
You don't get to bring him back here and say, well, you're an American, so now we're going to try you for treason.
Did he denounce his citizenship?
What's that?
Did he denounce his American citizenship?
I'm not sure. I don't think he did, but...
So then it would be okay to target and kill him.
Well, I mean, if he's going to go to war with somebody, he's got to accept the risk of possibly being killed in that.
Yeah. But why should it? So if his passport doesn't protect him from treason, it shouldn't protect him from the hellfire showing up. Right?
Wait, his passport subjects him to treason.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, I don't want to get off on a tangent about John Walker Lynn. I just brought him up because that's kind of what this reminds me of. He says, are Americans supposed to be exempt from attack when carrying guns for the other side?
And
I would say no. If you're on the other side, you're on the other side,
right,
regardless
right.
of what your nation of origin
what,
is.
What we talked about before is maybe these people aren't necessarily, were they actively taking up arms? I forget the rules of engagement. This is talking about targeting American citizens overseas.
Right. Well, in particular, it was one American citizen who is an imam and is a member of Al-Qaeda who was targeted in Yemen, I believe. What's his name? I can never remember his name. Zayman al-Awlaki.
Wow.
I probably...
Even if that's wrong, I'm impressed.
Probably butchered that name, sorry. But he was an American citizen. And he was on this kill list. He was the victim of a drone strike that killed him. So, I mean, the real question there is, if you're an American citizen, aren't you entitled, I mean, if you claim to be an American citizen, aren't you entitled to a fair trial for whatever crime?
But I think what you were just saying is no. You were just saying you don't think John Walker Lynn should have been tried for treason.
No.
So now you're saying this guy should not have been killed. Well, so it can't be both of those.
You're right. I think the fact that, well, okay, on a fundamental level, the fact that the government maintains a kill list is disturbing to me.
Well, it's like every high school kid.
True.
Sorry, I should not be, given the situation, I should be.
But, you know, that they would maintain this list and, you know, acknowledge that it exists is, you know, another level of disturbing. The fact that there are Americans on this list, some people find that disturbing.
They've put themselves in a position to be on the list.
Well, and I would tend to, like I said earlier, I would tend to say that's right. If you're going to be, but I don't know what the circumstances are with this individual. You know, I don't know if he was a combatant. I mean, the fact that he identifies with Al Qaeda.
Probably a combatant.
Maybe. I mean, it's.
He's their peace delegate.
Well, yeah. I mean, he could be. Could be the ambassador to the United States from Al Qaeda. I don't know.
Stylist.
So, okay, so you think Fred has a point that...
Yeah, I think Fred has a point.
That this kill list is just... okay, I'll concede that.
Yes.
Good job, Fred.
Way to go, Fred.
All right, what else we got?
Congressional pay raise was dirty, hardworking.
Those...
As we're careening over the cliff and rushing headlong toward the debt ceiling, it's time to pay those hardworking representatives a little bit more.
So, the story I heard was that this was part of some executive order.
Yes, I believe that is true.
And I don't think... I have to believe this is like an urban legend. Because I don't think the president can raise Congress's pay through executive order.
It sounds
fishy
to me.
Anything else
because I thought
order.
They had to vote themselves because they're the ones that hold
right.
the purse strings,
right?
Right.
I mean, and we have an amendment to the Constitution that says they cannot vote themselves a pay raise for the current term. Pay raises can't take effect until the end of the current term. So,
constitutional Jerry there.
I just think...
Bringing it.
Look it up, people.
Looking it up.
Jeremy breaks out his phone. Okay, so we got a vamp here for a second while he Googles it.
Oh, sorry, I got distracted. I'm looking at pictures of Jenny McCarthy.
Is she still hot?
Oh, yeah.
Jerry says no. I think she's the only possibly funny hot person.
Not like she was back in the 90s.
Did you ever watch Singled Out or whatever show was on MTV?
Yeah, at that time, that was that and Beavis and Butthead were the only two reasons to watch MTV. Because they had stopped playing videos by that point.
She was on the New Year's Eve special. Caught my eye. Is she still with Jim Carrey?
No.
That's over?
No, that's a long time ago. That's still yesterday, Rob.
You sound like you know a lot about your celebrity marriages.
He's got a subscription to People Magazine. Yeah.
She's hot as long as she doesn't start talking.
I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I never found her all that funny, but I respected her for trying.
Huh?
Republican lawmakers seek to block $900 a year congressional salary hike. GOP lawmakers are rushing to introduce legislation blocking a congressional pay increase authorized in a recent executive order signed by President Obama as bipartisan backlash to the planned raise grows.
All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to research that further, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Well, how many of other his executive orders did make
it? He's circumvented every other.
I'm not talking about his in particular. I mean, in general, I don't know how the chief executive can raise the pay of Congress.
It's, right.
It violates the separation of powers. If he could control what Congress is paid.
Yeah, maybe he just cut their pay when he doesn't like their bill.
Yeah. It's like, you're fired, go home.
Harry Reid is advocating that Obama circumvent Congress on the debt ceiling.
Yeah, but that's Harry Reid. He can get away with that.
I'm out. When are we going to stop saying, well, that's just Harry Reid? That's just... That's old Harry being Harry. He's like Terrell Owens. Oh, that's good.
When he catches touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's just Uncle Joe. Crazy Uncle Joe.
Who sexually molested every female that came into the...
Within arm's reach.
Yeah.
But they liked it, Matt.
I think it was uncomfortable laughter for most of them.
Who doesn't like a little groping from Joe? I'd take some.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, you've had enough. Yeah. Somebody cut him off.
It was that grin during that debate.
Yeah.
Did it for me.
All right. We might be done here. What do you think?
I think we were finished for that.
All right, I want to thank our listeners and encourage all of you to check us out on Facebook and Twitter and on our website, MidwestPeaceProcess.com. And look at this, Rob is returning Jeremy's pen unmolested.
I molested it like
minus
nobody.
A lot of ink.
Yeah, I'm not sure he washed his hands after when he left it.
All right, thanks everybody, and we will see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.